thanks in all things. We're going to spend about 2 weeks here thinking about gratitude, thinking about the blessings, thinking about what Paul talks about when he's addressing the Thessalonica church. And so we're just going to jump right in here, guys. Are you ready? If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5:11 through 24. There's Bibles under your seats, so now there's no excuses. But let's dive in here. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very high in love because of their work. Be at peace with yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idols, encourage the faith-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays any evil for evil, but always seek to do good to another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Say that again. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecy, but test yourselves. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called you is faithful, he will surely do it. We are going to unpack all that today. It's supposed to be funny. Not very funny, okay. Did you know that we are called to give thanks in all things? All things. You might be thinking, well, Pastor Jeremy, I love to give thanks when everything's going good. But you want me to give thanks when life is not what I expected, not what I want, in the hardships and the loss and the struggles of life? You want me to give thanks in the things that I can't control? Well, yes, we should. Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 challenge us to rejoice, pray, and be thankful. And what? Some things? And all things. Here in this verse, he's not speaking to a church with a perfect life, but a church under pressure, a church that's had its fair share of hardships. And today we're going to explore 5 points, powerful points from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Guidelines on how we too can live joyfully, find strength, and discover gratitude in the midst of life's blessings and its challenges. In Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, Paul says, rejoice always. I wish he would have said, rejoice always in your struggling, instead of rejoice always in all things. It says, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Like I said, the next 2 weeks we're going to explore what it means to live out this challenging command and how people can maintain joy. And I'm not talking about the kind of joy that we use the word happiness with, because we know that happiness is temporary. Happiness doesn't last moment. You could be happy 1 minute, 5 minutes later, somebody could say the wrong thing to you, and you're not happy no more, right? I'm talking about a joy that transforms everything, a joy that never goes away. We're going to learn how to practice gratitude and endure through the strength given to us by God when things are difficult. Imagine a tapestry. A tapestry that on one side It has all the little threads, all the weird colors that don't make sense. You know what I'm talking about? A quilt of some sort. And imagine that side of it. It's got knots, it snags, the colors don't seem to make any sense. It looks chaotic, even messy. From our side, it often looks like a tangled mess. The problems, the hardships, the disappointments, all the things that we can't control. This tapestry is a bit like life, isn't it? But when we flip it over, we find a vibrant image, carefully woven with purpose. From God's perspective on these things, there's a beautiful design being formed, one that's crafted and intended for love. Paul knew this firsthand. He wrote to the Thessalonians, encouraging them to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. He wasn't speaking to people living picture-perfect lives here. He was addressing a church enduring hardship, uncertainty, and the pressure of life in a hostile world. Yet he calls them and us to embrace joy, be persistent in prayer, and have gratitude even when the threads of life are tangled. These next 2 weeks will help us to flip over the tapestry of our lives and glimpse into God's design. Paul's words are not just lofty ideas, they're practical, resilient. They're guidelines for real people like us. Over the next few weeks, we'll unpack powerful ways that we can hold on to that joy, practice that gratitude, and find strength even in the hardest times. And in doing so, we'll discover how God, the master weaver, is creating everything beautiful from every thread of our lives, even the ones that feel out of place. So I got 5 points for you again. I made it through 5 last week. I think we're going to make it through 5 this week. Thessalonians 5:11 through 13 says, therefore encourage one another. Who needs some encouragement today? And build up one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Paul reminds us of this powerful truth. Joy, even in the hardships, is cultivating a community. Even in Thessalonica, this church of believers, he's saying you're going through these hardships. The answer to these hardships is love and encouragement and joy and peace. Speak into each other's lives. He calls us to encourage one another and to build each other up, highlighting that we're not meant to walk a Christian life alone. When we speak life into others, it strengthens our faith and reminds us of God's goodness even in those difficult times. Paul also emphasizes the importance of respecting and loving those who serve and lead in leadership in your church. We got a wonderful leadership team that has been leading this church for a few years without a pastor. Praise God for them. They're not in this room, but we need to encourage them. We need to lift them up. They have done an amazing job. We are supposed to respect those who serve in leadership in our church. These leaders often work tirelessly to guide and shepherd you. They need your prayers. They need your encouragement. And they need your appreciation. When you honor their labor and walk in peace with one another, it reflects the unity in the church and the love of Christ to the rest of the world. You got to think about that for a second. When people outside the church see a unified church inside the church, it's attractive. People are like, man, they love each other so well. I can't find that anywhere else. I can't find that at work. Do you find that at work? I didn't think so. I do. I got the best job in the whole world. Love it on you guys. I got the best job. This passage teaches that the joy is not circumstantial but relational. Rooted in our connection with God and the community of believers He has given us. In times of hardship, let us learn and lean into this truth. By lifting each other up, honoring those who lead us, and pursuing peace, we can find joy that transcends our struggles. Let's look at it this way. You got two hikers, and they're trekking up a mountain. I changed that last night because we went hiking, and my legs are really sore right now. And if my wife wasn't with me, I would have made it not even as half as far as I did. She's like, come on, you can keep doing it. You see the point here? You got two hikers trekking up a mountain trail in stormy weather, alone. Either one might give up. That was me. Worn out by the relentless wind, the bittering cold, and the rocky terrain. But as they struggle, they take turns encouraging each other, lifting each other's spirits, sharing resources. We were sharing our water together. And even helping each other when someone stumbles. Well, I didn't stumble, but I walked really close to the edge. She's like, you're not paying attention. Get away from the edge. I'm one of those people, I'm walking along the edge and I got my earbud in and I'm praising Jesus. She's like, stop. I go, I'm praising Jesus on the mountaintop. She's like, you're weird. I love Jesus. Their journey is still hard, but they find and share strength and a sense of joy in facing the mountain together. In their companionship, there's joy. Joy that isn't born of a perfect circumstance, but from a shared goal and a purpose. They give strength to each other. We're all like those hikers, called to journey together, lifting each other up and drawing on the Spirit's strength. When one of us feels that we can't go on any further, we reach out in a community for encouragement and support and prayer. And as we help each other, we realize that joy is not about avoiding hardship. We don't go around the hardship to find joy. We go through the hardship to find joy. And we don't go through the hardship without people alongside of us to speak life into us, to keep us on track, to continue to give us wisdom to make the right decisions. When one of us feels that we can't go any further, we reach out to our community for that encouragement. And as we help each other, we realize that joy is not just about avoiding that hardship, but finding strength, peace, and purpose in it. If you're anything like me, I learn the best by making mistakes. In the hardship is the place, is the fire that refines us. It's not when everything's all butterflies and flowers. It's in the fire that we refine. It's in the hardships that we grow and find things about ourselves that we never knew before. I love this one. Here it comes. If you've got a, if your toes are in the aisle, go ahead and pull them in a little bit. I don't want to step on any toes today. Attitude. Amidst imperfection. Paul tells us in verses 14 through 15, Paul gives us a radical approach to gratitude. He challenges us to support one another patiently. Ooh, we love that word, don't we? Patiently. He challenges us to support one another patiently, even when the people around us are flawed and difficult. If there's nobody flawed or difficult in your life, it might be you. Amen. Love it. Amen. It's a call This whole thing is a call to embrace a perspective that sees value in each person, even when their imperfection is evident. This isn't easy, but it is the foundation of loving and transformative community. Get this. Gratitude in the middle of imperfection means learning to see beyond our expectations of others and instead appreciating them for who they are. Let me say that again. We all have people like that in our lives, right? Gratitude in the middle of imperfection means learning to see beyond what bugs you about that person and instead appreciating them for who they are and how God has made them and how God has wired them. It's choosing to be thankful for people, not just for what they do right, but the way they are being shaped and molded by God. When we practice gratitude for people in their imperfected state, we're acknowledging God's work in them. And in us. I call this sandpaper people. Think about it. God will put people that are like sandpaper rough in our lives. But why? To smooth out our rough edges. We all have them. You might be it. I don't know. We got the altars always open right here. What we're saying here is, I'm thankful for that you're in my life, and I am committed to walking alongside you, even as God continues to transform us both. That's the attitude of gratitude. Paul's call to avoid judgment and show patience reminds us that the heart of a Christian community is not perfection, but grace. If you think you're going to find a perfect church, good luck. Let me know, because I have seen a lot of churches in the whole United States, and there's not one perfect one. The only thing that makes the church perfect is that Jesus is the husband to the church. Let me give you a story about this. The heart of a Christian community is not perfection, but grace. Jesus, in John 21, illustrates this kind of gratitude and patience in the face of imperfection. After Jesus' resurrection, he meets Peter on the other side with the other disciples at the Sea of Galilee. This encounter had encountered Peter's denial of Jesus 3 times. Okay? What a painful, heartbreaking failure on Peter's part. But instead of Jesus rebuking Peter at his failures, Jesus asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" And each question, Jesus gives Peter a chance to reaffirm his commitment and be restored. Jesus didn't focus on Peter's imperfections or past mistakes. Instead, he seen Peter's potential and his purpose. Jesus demonstrated patience, extended grace, and entrusted Peter with his sheep. He said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus chose to believe in Peter's journey of growth, even though he was far from perfect. Through this encounter, Jesus shows us what it means to support each other with patience and gratitude. He doesn't expect us to be perfect, just be willing. He meets us in our imperfection and gently calls us towards our potential. Jesus doesn't wait for Peter to improve himself or his worthiness. Instead, he offers him a new beginning and expressing to trust him, Jesus, despite his past. He offers him a new beginning and expresses trust in him despite his failures. This story teaches us to extend the same grace to each other. When we practice gratitude for one another, even when we're not perfect, we build a community where grace and growth can flourish. It's in our imperfection brought before Jesus that he does his transforming work. Jesus doesn't say, come to me with all your perfections and all your gifts and your talents so that we can do something great. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, not power. It's in our imperfections brought before Christ that he does his transforming work. Just as Jesus saw the potential in Peter, lets us know the good in each other. Grateful that God continues. I don't know about you, but I am grateful that God continues to use me in spite of me. In spite of me. And he wants to do that with you. Point three. The power of prayer is sustaining joy and peace. In verses 16 and 18, Paul shows us the profound connection between prayer, joy, and peace. To rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances is an invitation to live with God as our constant companion. This kind of prayer goes beyond words. It's a continual heart-level awareness of God's presence in our moments. Prayer becomes our anchor. What's anchor? Hope. Talked about it last week. The anchor, the universal sign for hope, is anchor. This kind of prayer goes beyond words. It is continual, heart-level awareness of God's presence in every moment. Prayer becomes our hope or our anchor, sustaining our joy and our peace, even when life's storms threaten to overwhelm us. When we cultivate a rhythm of prayer, we're choosing to walk with God through every high and every low, not just in the bright, happy moments, but especially in the shadows. This constant communication reminds us of God's unwavering presence, grounding us in his peace. Through prayer, we find strength and hope, knowing we are never alone. Consider Daniel. In Daniel 6, Daniel, a man known for his unwavering devotion to God, prayed faithfully 3 times a day, even when the law of the land did not allow it. His life was marked by prayer, and his rhythms kept him connected to God's presence and his peace. When David was thrown into the lion's den as a punishment for his prayer life, get that, praying, thrown in with the lion, punished for his prayer life, his steadfast practice of prayer sustained him. Surrounded by danger and isolated in darkness, Daniel's peace was unshaken because his trust was anchored in the Lord. Miraculously, God shut the mouth of the Lord, delivering David from harm. His consistent prayer life didn't just save him in that moment. It prepared him to fill him with peace and allowed him to trust God in the face of all circumstances, in the face of fear. Prayer. We need to be a praying church. We have to be a praying church. Amen. Point four, welcome the Spirit's work in all circumstances. I will try not to go down any rabbit holes here. I'm a Pentecostal pastor, just letting you all know. We'll get there, I promise. We will teach the right way, the way that God's word says that we should live our lives in the Spirit, his way. So verses 19 through 22, Paul challenges us, do not quench the Spirit. This call is to keep our hearts open to God's presence and power, even when life is challenging or confusing. When we allow the Holy Spirit to move freely within us, we're inviting him to transform us, to refine us, and to help us grow. It's often in the moments of discomfort or uncertainty that the Spirit does his deepest work, shaping us more into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Instead of resisting or closing off, we're called to welcome His sanctifying work in every circumstance. I'll give you a little plug here. Even when you don't have the words to pray, God has given a gift of the Holy Spirit to speak in an unknown language. Whole nother sermon. But let's do it this way. Think of a gardener pruning a tree. Each cut. Have I got any gardeners in here? Oh, wait a minute. I'm in the desert. I need to find a new terminology. No, because you guys don't know gardening that well, do you? I mean, I think that you do, but we like have gardens the size of this room right here back home, plus all the cornfields. But anyway, you'll get the point. Think of the gardener pruning a tree. Each cut might seem harsh or painful, but the gardener knows that it is necessary for the tree's health and future for the growth. Pruning removes what's dead or unfruitful, allowing new life and stronger branches to emerge. The tree itself doesn't resist. It surrenders to the process, trusting that the gardener's work will ultimately bring it to full flourishing life. There are some things in our life that need to be pruned in order to bear more fruit. Whole nother sermon. We have been pruned a lot. And God's not, I'm telling you right now, God ain't done pruning me. I got a lot more pruning to do. There are things that I want gone now, but there's things that He wants gone now. And I want what He wants, not what I want. Because I like to prune the easy little branches. He wants the big ones. In the same way, we are called to surrender to the Spirit's work in our lives. Even when it feels uncomfortable, life's challenges may feel like pruning, but there are often opportunities for the Spirit to work ways that strengthen our faith, deepen our character, and align us more with God's heart, not our own. By welcoming the Spirit's presence in all circumstances, we allow Him to bring forth fruit in our lives that would not grow any other way. Some things need to be pruned so God can grow what He wants to grow. And our last point, living with a forward-focused gratitude. I think I talked about this a little bit last week. Our past is not going to define our future. If we keep looking to the past, we're never going to see what God wants to do tomorrow because we're stuck back here. Thessalonians 23 and 24, Paul prays that God will sanctify you completely, encouraging us to trust in God's faithfulness to finish what He started in us. This is the essence of forward-focused gratitude, a gratitude that looks ahead with hope, trusting that God will fulfill His promises in us. It's this kind of thankfulness that says, Lord, I am grateful not only for what You've done, but also what You're going to do. Forward focusing. This perspective fills us with peace and hope, knowing that God is guiding every step of our journey and is faithful to complete the work He has begun. Let's look at Abraham and Isaac for a minute. All I know is on Monday nights, we got a character study here through the Bible. And let me tell you, it's good. I learned some things about Jacob that I didn't know last week. So good. And I think they've already went through, right? You guys have already been through this, but let's just touch the topic of it. God called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, the very son through whom God had promised to make him a great nation. Abraham didn't know how it would all work out, but he moved forward in faith, trusting that God would fulfill his purpose, even though he couldn't see it. As Abraham and Isaac climbed the mountain, Abraham's heart held a forward-focused gratitude, trusting God's faithfulness and believing that somehow God was going to provide. And in a moment of profound faith, when Abraham was willing to obey to sacrifice his son, willing to obey. God provided a ram as a substitute for Isaac, providing once again his faithfulness to Abraham. Abraham's gratitude wasn't just for the ram in that moment. It was for the faithfulness of God, who would complete his promise even when the future seemed impossible to understand. So let's close this out this morning. As we journey this week, and as we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. Let us choose a life with a spirit of gratitude, faith, resilience. Let us be a people who, like Paul's vision, lifted each other up, finding reason to be grateful for one another, even when it's difficult. Let us draw near to God in prayer, not only in the moments of joy, but especially in our struggles, allowing his peace to guide our hearts and our strengthen our character. And as we look forward in the future, may we walk with a deep forward-focused gratitude, trusting that God is already at work in ways that we cannot see yet. Like Abraham on the mountain and Daniel in the lion's den, may our hearts be anchored with hope and the unshakable assurance that God is faithful. He will fulfill every promise, shape us through every challenge, and bring us to a place of wholeness in Christ. If you're here and you don't have I'm going to do this every week because I believe Jesus is going to send Holy Spirit through our community, and we will have people coming into this building that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The most important thing that we can do every single week is offer somebody the gift of salvation. So with every head bowed and every eye shut, I would just ask, if you're in this room and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all you got to do is just throw your hand up. Nobody's looking. If you're looking for the hope, if you're looking for gratitude, if you're looking for joy that you've tried to find somewhere else, but I'm telling you, the only way you're going to find it is in Jesus. If that's you, just slip your hand up real quick. Nobody's looking. I'm not trying to call you out. I'm not trying to do anything. But Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Simple. God knows your heart. Even if you don't raise your hand, you pray out to God in your own way. He's listening. He knows you. He knows every hair on your head. And he loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you so that you can inherit eternity in heaven. So, Father, we approach your throne of grace today with humble hearts, knowing that you are going to build in us a heart of gratitude. Even in our struggles, even in our highs and our lows and our mountaintops and our valleys, that you know every thing, every thought that we go through. Father, give your Holy Spirit into our lives. Help him to guide us, teach us. And when we don't feel like being encouraging, let that power come from him. Father, as we go into our places this week and our workplaces, that you would give us the courage to speak words of encouragement, to speak words of life, with somebody in our area, in our church, or in our workplaces, or in our schools, or at the grocery store. Give us the courage to share the goodness of who you are. Father, we know that you have so much planned and so much store for what you hold. We will be a forward-focusing church, knowing and expecting you to do something miraculous. We love you. We thank you. And again, if there's somebody in this room that decided to give their life to Jesus, come talk to me afterwards. But Father, we give you honor and glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate.